how long or how much pain should a person have to endure to say these words? And I really want you to feel within yourself the emotion behind these words. How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you do not listen. I cry out to you violence, but you do not intervene. Why do you let me see ruin? Why must I look at misery? There's a sense of desperation. There's a sense of, Lord, I am exhausted. Please intervene. In recent times, I'm sure people without employment, people without health insurance, people whose homes have been foreclosed, I'm sure many times they have cried and cried and cried to God. I wish I knew what became of those prayers. But there are also tremendous stories of faith that I've heard. For example, we received a testimony from Tim Beach after he attended the healing mass last Wednesday. And Tim says, as we walked out last night from the mass, Karen, that is his wife, Karen and I both discussed how unworthy we felt. How could we be so blessed with God's rich graces, both in the past and through these difficult times? And what he means by difficult times is simply this. Tim suffers from a very rare form of cancer. He and his wife, they consider the cancer to be a gift from God. It almost seems strange when they say this. But they say this cancer is a gift from God for us to make God's love known to all people. And then we have today's disciples. They come to Jesus and they say, Lord, increase our faith. Now, even though today's scriptures raise very poignant questions, so questions like, God, how long should we wait? Or, please increase our faith. There's something very disarming about today's scripture. In other words, to these very deep questions that people raise before God, there seems to be a very calm response. So here the response to the cry of the first reading. The prophet Habakkuk says, for the vision still has time, presses on to fulfillment and will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It'll surely come. It will not be late. The rash one has no integrity, but the just one, because of his faith, shall live. Now, what do you say to a response like that? When the disciples come to Jesus and say, please increase our faith, Jesus does not answer the question. Rather, he says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Really? Is it that simple? So I want to reflect today on this theme of faith. Now, I realize as I wrote this homily that today's readings were not easy to deal with. So if you find that today's homily is rather esoteric, it's more up on the level of ideas, please bear with me, but I'm trying here to enter into the depths of what we can understand as faith. So here's my first point for today to reflect upon. These are not practical implications, this is just things for us to reflect upon. Here's the first. Both the first reading and the gospel reading has something to say about faith. So what does Habakkuk say? He says, the just one because of his faith shall live. Jesus asks us to have faith the size of a mustard seed. Now none of these readings, except at the end of the gospel reading, do really tell us what Jesus means by that faith. What does he say? When you have done all you have been commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants who have done what we were obliged to do. We follow commandments. We come here for Mass. We worship God. We try to live a good life. And God says at the end of it all, please say, we are unprofitable servants. We did what we were obliged to do. In other words, faith is not an act. Faith is an attitude. Faith is a certain way of life. When you have this attitude that Lord, all that we did, sorry, it's not because I want to gain anything from it, but Lord, all that I have done, it's because we love you. This is what we were obliged to do. I have nothing to gain from it except that I love you. When you have that kind of an attitude, Jesus says, that's the beginning of faith. That's the beginning of faith. And if we have faith with this attitude, if we have this attitude and this perspective on life, Jesus says it is very powerful. As powerful as someone saying to the mulberry tree, please get up and be planted in the tree, in the sea, and that would happen. Now, I'm going to take you one step forward. So I first said faith is an attitude, faith is a perspective on life. Second point. For many people, faith is a set of doctrines. Faith is what my religion teaches me to observe, and I observe it. For other people, faith comes handy when we have insurmountable problems. So when we have problems, we run to God. Today's scripture is telling us that faith is all these things and more. Faith is not only an attitude and a perspective in life, faith is a relationship. Faith is the gratitude we feel in our hearts for the very fact of knowing God. Think about it for a minute. Each of us has some understanding of God. Faith is the gratitude we feel that we know God. Faith from this perspective is not related to obtaining favors from God. Faith from this perspective is not a response to healing or a means to enter eternal life. Faith from this perspective is not something we deserve. Faith from this perspective is pure gift. God has given us knowledge of God freely. And that knowledge, God, we are grateful for it. That is faith. And as I've said here, faith is like a teenager falling in love for the first time and realizing that he or she is capable of love. Imagine the excitement of a teenager who for the first time knows that he or she is capable of love. And how grateful does that person feel? Because, gosh, I am in love. Relationship with God. Faith is a relationship. God, thank you. I know you. Faith is its own reward. Step forward. I said thus far, faith is an attitude. I've said thus far, faith is a relationship. Faith is its own reward. Now, how do you and I know if we have this kind of faith? In previous times, I have always encouraged our parishioners to bring God into every aspect of our lives. Today, I'm almost going to say the contrary. Here is a question for you. Would you still have faith in God if you knew there was nothing to be gained from it? Think about it. What does our faith bring us? Peace? Comfort? Maybe we think that if we do everything God asks us to do, somehow we'll sneak into heaven? Would you have faith in God if you realized there was nothing to be gained from it? Could you detach faith from everything in your life? For example, detach God from illnesses. Detach God from your petitions. Detach God from your illnesses and your needs. Detach God from your aspirations. When you have detached God from everything, what remains? What remains? When you have nothing to gain from your faith, what remains? Hopefully, a pure, simple, loving relationship with God. If you can discover that, God, even if I was not assured of heaven, God, I want this relationship with you. If you can discover that, I think that's the kind of faith Jesus is saying disciples must have. It's not easy to get there, but it's possible. This is the kind of faith the disciples are saying to Jesus, Lord, please increase in us. I'm going to say this in conclusion. I think this Eucharist is a great example of faith. Because we have Jesus here, and in a very few moments, Jesus will give himself to us completely. Here's a question. What does Jesus have to gain from us? Nothing. Can we give any guarantees to Jesus? Lord, this week I'll lead a life without sin. Can we promise that? No, we cannot. Because we are weak, we'll fail. Can we guarantee God anything? No. Yet, Jesus gives himself unconditionally to us this morning. That is faith. God has nothing to gain, yet God gives everything, including God's own self. That is faith. Can we do that today? When you come to receive Christ in communion, just say, Christ, just thank you. Thank you for who you are to me. That's it. Let's pray that the gift of faith might be nurtured in us and we can love God and believe in God for God's sake. People of God said,